Good evening. Welcome. My name is Marcus Pollard. I'm the director of player engagement as well as director of youth football. As most of you are aware, this 2016 season, some of our NFL players made demonstrations on the field surrounding social and racial inequality. So with that being said, some of those demonstrations and communications caused a ripple through locker rooms, through organizations, through communities, and to some degree to our country. The guys you see here on the panel behind me, some of the players along with our GM, Dave Caldwell, thought, why don't we have a panel, an open forum of discussion to see if we can get some of these issues resolved, to see if we can come to a common ground to help everybody involved. Hopefully this panel tonight will foster positive relationships between our NFL players, our law enforcement, our military, our youth, and our city officials. So welcome to Jaguars Town Hall. At this time, I'm going to make some introductions. Rear Admiral Victor Guillory, U.S. Navy, retired.
Thank you.
Carson Tinker, long snapper, player, Jacksonville Jaguars. Mayor Lenny Curry with the city, Jacksonville Jaguars. Kelvin Beecham, offensive tackle, player, Jacksonville Jaguars. Assistant Chief T.K. Waters, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, Violence Reduction Strategy. Prince Amukamara, defensive back, Jacksonville Jaguars. Tonight we'll cover three topics, the first of which is, what is the current climate of race relations in our society? In other words, why is each panelist here tonight? Secondly, identify solutions. Where do we go from here as a city, and what are the next steps? Third, build a game plan. Let's put action on paper. Some housekeepings before we start this discussion. Tonight's event is being live streamed by Jaguars.com and will be archived on our site for everyone to watch at a later date. We'd encourage you to put down your cell phones for the next hour or so. Take some time to listen, absorb, and reflect on discussion taking place on the stage. To keep the conversation moving forward, we will not take questions during the program. We've given each of you a note card and a pen in your chair. If you have a thought, come to mind, or action step you would like to suggest, write it down, hold it up, and one of our staff members will get it from you. With that being said, let's get started. As we decided to have this forum, I thought about how I would open this dialogue up. And I thought about when I was a child, not even old enough yet to drive, my grandfather would talk to me about if you were ever pulled over by the police, here's what you should do. He talked to me about making sure that I put both hands on the steering wheel, turn the light on, and being very respectful of that officer. I think back at that time, I think he was just trying to keep me out of harm's way in the event that I was smart aleck, I said something offsides to the officer. But now that I think about it, I think he was also thinking about the police officer. Because if we get pulled over in any situation, their lives matter too. But there at my time, there in my town from a small town in Alabama, there are some racial issues, and I think that was concern for my grandfather. I want to keep my grandson safe. So Beecham, been from a small town in Texas, Mahia, Texas, right?
Mahia,
Texas. did you ever experience any sort of racism?
It was racism. It was something that we learned to deal with in I would say a kind of all-white country town, it's just what it was at the time. But I think I really didn't understand it until I went off to college. When I came back into the city, being pulled over, by policemen, being incarcerated in college.
Being incarcerated?
Yes. Thrown into detox. Didn't have any criminal record. You can't go and find that criminal incident. But driving while black was something that I experienced growing up, you know, in the country parts of Texas. So, yes, I did experience those things growing up.
Admiral, have you experienced any racism within the military, and did it ever change?
Well, I can safely say that I don't recall experiencing any racism as an admiral. However, you know, I'm originally from New Orleans. I grew up in the lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans, and it was a different time. It was the 60s, and this country was going through a lot of changes, and there were a lot of changes in my community. The culture, there were a lot of racism that was just part of the culture. And so I did not think it was specifically aimed at me or picking on me. My parents, I was very fortunate, they were much more of a threat if I did something wrong than perhaps, you know, someone outside of the household. And racism, as defined today, I really didn't begin to experience perhaps until in the Navy. And it was subtle, and it wasn't tolerated. In the military, there's something called a Uniform Code of Military Justice. And it guides your behavior and ensures the continuity and that everyone works together. It is sacrosanct. And you learn very quickly that you have to conform with that and that the processes are clear to everyone and transparent. So I think my time in the Navy allowed me to get to the point that I served as an admiral because we all played pretty much on an equal playing field, and I think that we were sort of ahead of finding more things that members of the military had in common than we had our differences, and we were forced to capitalize on those.
That's really good. Anyone else? Any scenarios, situation that you want to talk about? If not, okay. Crickets. The reason we're here are due to some on-field demonstrations by some NFL players. And to me, that's kind of what sparked this whole conversation. So I want to go to Prince. Prince, did you consider participating in any on-the-field demonstrations? And if you did or did not, why did you choose not to do it?
Yeah, I would say I did consider participating. Me and a couple of guys did. But before we were going to do anything, we thought it was important to let Coach Bradley know and let the PR people know just so they can be ready. But the reason why I was going to do it was just because I do agree with what Colin was kneeling for, and how he said it wasn't against military, but he was protesting the injustice that was being towards black Americans being shot. And so I just agree with this whole message and how he went about it. But then when he did the sock thing with the cops as pigs, I'm like, no, now I can't even. I was just like, now I can't even like kneel with him, because if I do, then I'm supporting that too, which I don't support. I don't think any cops are or pigs for that matter. And so the reason why I didn't do it was because me, KB, Kelvin, and a lot of guys on the team, I think it was going to be like either we're going to do it together or we're not going to do it at all. It wasn't just going to be one or two people. It was going to be 10 to 12 people. And we just couldn't get it worked out. And then with the fact that being in Jacksonville, where there's 78%, 80% military, I talked to my wife. I said, hey, like, if you go to the local grocery mart, like, something might get said to you, and are you ready for that? And
yeah.
She was like, yeah, like, I'm like, no, you're not ready. You're not ready for that. And so then when you presented this opportunity, I thought this would be the most efficient way that that satisfies both parties.
Carson, what was your first opinion about what some of your peers were doing, and did that opinion change at all?
Yeah, so when the whole Kaepernick thing came out, I mean, I hold the military and the national anthem and that American flag, I hold it in such high regard. I have a lot of respect for, you know, the police, the military, and the politics. It's I mean, I hold it in such a high regard. So yeah, I was a little ticked off at first when Kaepernick had it. But the locker room is a place where all opinions are heard. They're all voiced. And I think it's just such a great dynamic, you know, getting to talk to these guys, because I have a lot of respect for these guys. I go to war every week with these guys. So I really value their opinion. And Cindric Marks is one of my best friends. His locker is right beside mine. And, I mean, we talk about everything that comes up, man. So I got to talking to him about it. And, you know, I grew up a white man in Alabama. So, yeah, I've never experienced some of these issues. And it was just kind of out of sight, out of mind, honestly. But after talking to Cindric and hearing his opinions, and I mean, he's passionate about it. He has conviction about it because he identifies with these things. And it made me realize that these issues are real. They are out there. They are happening. And I mean, football, like, this is the only voice that some of these guys will ever hear. So it made me kind of, you know, take a step back. And yeah, I don't agree with what Kaepernick's doing just because of how I feel about the American flag and the national anthem. But I think that these voices do need to be heard. And I feel like we just need to take a step back and realize that it's not about, you know, taking sides. I think that there needs to be respect, more respect on both sides, from the, you know, the lower income communities, to football players, to police, to military.
All parties involved.
All parties.
I agree. Matt Curry, did you have a reaction to some of the demonstrations that took place on the field?
Absolutely. Very strong personal reaction. I didn't like it. And I'll tell you why. My initial reaction is, you know, growing up as a kid, both grandfathers served in World War II, both saw combat, both came home and dealt with, you know, trouble sleeping. I mean, I heard this growing up, but they fought for this country and they were proud of that. And that's what the flag represents to me and represented to me. And then my own experience just as a kid, you know, I love the sport of football. So to see this in this sport, I played youth football in South Florida, very diverse football team, and it's where we all came together. There were no differences between us. So that was my experience. That being said, I have had enough life experience and have been in many neighborhoods in this city, and I know that African Americans, specifically African American males, have a completely different experience than I have when I walk down the street on any given day. So I'm here because this is an important conversation to have.
Oh, we really appreciate you being here, Ms. Mayor. Really do.
Admiral, go ahead.
I have a question.
No, go ahead.
So, and I'm not trying to debate, I just really want to know this answer. So, say Kaepernick donated his salary to Wounded Warrior Projects or to the military, but he still took a knee. Would you still say he's being disrespectful to the military? Would you still say he has no respect for the military?
I don't think it was about the military. I think that, you know, he voiced his issue. The biggest thing that really kind of irritates me about Kaepernick is, yeah, he gave all this money. He did whatever, you know, he felt like he needed to do, but he didn't vote. And I feel like as an American citizen, that is our only voice, is to vote. So that really, that really struck a nerve with me. Yeah, I don't agree with 100% with either politician that was running, but I still voted for who I thought was the best candidate, and he didn't do that. And that really struck a nerve with me about Kaepernick.
You got something to add to that?
No, I just, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. The, you know, in the Navy, one of the advantages of serving a life in the Navy and going aboard those ships is that you travel around the world. You get to, in respectful ceremonies, acknowledge your arrival by the national anthem when you arrive in a country, and then, you know, in a respectful way, acknowledging their national anthem. I just can't picture in a scenario where someone in some other country, France or somewhere in South America, would have such a public, what I think is disrespectful, to the flag and for everyone that fought to defend that flag and that country. Even countries that we may have issues with, You know, there's a certain amount of just protocol and respect. And I think this country, we should be the shining example of that. So I have no trouble with protests and demonstrations, but we should pick venues that sets the right example for those that will follow and that really admire and believe in you as athletes. I mean, you're the closest to a hero that they may know, and so your actions have implications.
What about the message behind what he was trying to accomplish? The message and the equalities that are going on both nationally and that may be happening here in Jacksonville?
Well, I had difficulty with that. You know, when I see an NFL player, Kaepernick or anyone else, conduct a protest like that, I'm not sure whether they're protesting against a national issue or they're protesting against a Jacksonville issue. You know, we've had issues in this city, but pretty consistent. You've seen the sheriff and the mayor and our council members and faith leaders come together almost immediately to express outrage, to do positive things, to try to correct that problem and ensure it doesn't happen again. You can't always say that when you have national issues. Jacksonville is different. I think that's why a lot of military veterans decide to make this their home. Their pensions are good anywhere, so they make a choice to make Jacksonville their home. And I think I think that, you know, there's suitable protests, but when it comes to the flag, the national anthem, I've seen too many countries where citizens just don't have that right, and I don't take it for granted in this country.
But as a player, one of the things that I feel that we in the locker room have a conversation about quite often is what are our alternatives? There are, you know, we talk about, you know, whether we wanted to kneel, whether we wanted to fist, that was used in the Olympics years ago. We talk about a number of different alternatives to demonstrate that we are fighting for the inequalities that are going on, not only with the justice system, but also the education system, also with poverty. You know, what are alternatives? Because everybody wants to talk about, well, the players are doing this, the players are not doing this. You know, what are the alternatives to combat some of the issues and be able to fight for the message that Colin, you know, I'm not, I think the message that he kneeled for was accurate. The way he went about it could have been done a number of different ways. That's why we're having this conversation. That's why we came to MP about this particular issue. But what are some of the alternatives to combat the message of inequality that's going on in America, and it's also going on here in Jacksonville? Because if you go on the north side of Jacksonville, there's a different sense of what's going on the north side of Jacksonville than there is on the south side of Jacksonville.
I can jump in there.
Yeah. Can we hold that? Because I want to get to this. Because, sure. I mean, we can talk about that one. But there's a question that I want to get to TK. Recently, there have been some incidents between black men and the police that have gained national attention. Could you speak to the climate between the police here in the community, here in Jacksonville?
I think we have a unique relationship here in Jacksonville. We've had some incidents in Jacksonville that many would call controversial. But what we do have is a relationship, I think, that we're working to continue to get stronger and that we have that's kept everyone together. I think it's very important for us to share information. I think it's very important for us to be transparent. I'm here tonight because I want everyone to know me as an individual, me as a human being, me as a person. And I think the more I can sit down and talk to more people, the better off we all are. And I think because our sheriff, our mayor, I've actually done walks with the mayor. I know the mayor is genuine and concerned about the situations that we have here. I think we're in a unique situation. I think we have a good relationship with our community that's only going to get stronger with time, with things like this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think this is going to be really beneficial for all of us and the people here in our community. Again, this is on jaguars.com, and it'll be archived. So if you guys want to go back and take a look at it sometimes, it'll be there. But I'd like to move on to part two, section two. We've heard a lot about the issues, demonstrations and protests. But I'd like to get to some solutions. Mary Curry, in your opinion, what are some potential solutions to some of the issues that we've already discussed?
That's a great question, because Kevin was mentioning what is going on in Jacksonville. So in my I've been in office for just over a year now, campaigned for almost a year, served for 2 years with significant time in neighborhoods, specifically in neighborhoods that have been left behind, North Jacksonville, Northwest Jacksonville. Neighborhoods that promises were made for years, that go way back, that cross multiple administrations, that just weren't met by city officials and elected officials. So the first part is engaging. Chief TK talked about that, spending a lot of time in the neighborhoods and listening to people and really understanding what are the issues, how can we help them. But then actually, you know, a budget is a statement of priorities. And if you look at my first two budgets, I have clearly prioritized neighborhoods that have been left behind, that have income disparities, infrastructure disparities. So it's not an overnight solution, but it is one where we put our money where our mouth is. The other thing is, you know, the city, we have begun to invest significantly in programs for at-risk youth. There are many opportunities to engage for mentoring and to really have an impact on individual lives.
I know you mentioned budgets, but are any things that you just mentioned being currently in place?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when I took office, example would be our investment in youth. Money that is really specifically targeted to neighborhoods that have been left behind where there's significant poverty. Those programs had been cut to almost zero before I took office. I increased funding 100%. Now, look, when you're going 100% up from when you were close to nothing, you still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But very specifically, I made a commitment to that in my campaign. I delivered on that and will continue to deliver on that in the years ahead. The other thing is, again, investing. I mean, if you're in a neighborhood where your septic tanks haven't been dealt with, not sexy stuff, but stuff that has an impact on economic development and jobs in neighborhoods, I have put the budget as a priority in and around those issues, and we'll continue to do so.
Thank you. Chief Waters.
Sir.
What would you suggest are some practical measures police could take towards training and recruiting new officers?
Well, let me address training first of all. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is in a constant training mode. We're constantly learning different things. We go to in-service training once a year. Well, several times a year now. It used to be once a year for a week, but we go several times a year now. We're always learning. We just partnered with the National Network of Safe Communities, and with those folks, we've been able to learn some different ways of policing versus where we normally address a violence issue with saturation patrols and zero tolerance. We don't do that anymore. One, it's antiquated. It works for a short period of time, but it's not sustainable long term. So what we're doing now is this more targeted enforcement where we recognize and we look at the individuals that we know are responsible for some of the things that are taking place in our city, and we address those issues. And we learn that from, you know, just advising from different places and different things. So we're in a constant state of training. It never stops. And we're always learning. I learn from you guys. I learn from different community members that I go to. We're always learning. And that's how our police department is. We're in a great place, and we're just moving forward.
Sorry, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So when I watch film, like, on a corner, because I play cornerback, so with the cornerback and receiver, and I see something bad happen, I try to think, okay, like, why did that cornerback do that? So with the videos that came out, and stuff like that of the you know, the officers and the civilians. Do you ever watch? Well, I'll watch and I'll say like I'm just irate about everything because it always looks like okay that there was like it wasn't justified. So do you look at it and say like okay this guy could have done this better, or it's just hard to say because it's a small clip and you weren't in that situation?
It's very difficult to look at any situation across the country and say it should have been handled a certain way. And the reason I'm reluctant to say that we should have done something different because I'm not that individual in that position. It's very difficult to do that. Now, I can look at something and I can say, you know, maybe we could have tried this, or maybe we could have tried that. Maybe we could have tried to de-escalate. But as a policeman, I don't have the option of saying, you know what, never mind. I'm going to go on home. Never mind the call for service. That's not an option. If you call me, if anyone in this room or in this city calls us, it's our duty to respond and try to have a solution to the issues that you're calling us about. So the option of retreat is never really there. So it's difficult, Prince, for me to say what those guys should have done. It's very hard, unless I'm in that situation myself.
Okay. Prince, we've talked about your dad and some of his beliefs and being from a diverse family yourself, with some of these young fellows sitting in the front row. As it relates to a solution, how can we educate the younger generation about race equality?
I grew up in Arizona, so like my school and stuff was which is very diverse with like Latinos and white people and black people. So I was very like naive, thinking, okay, this is how it is everywhere. And then when I went to college in Nebraska, it was just a huge culture shock. Yeah. It was huge. And So it was very much different, and all I have to go back on is what I've seen on TV. But my dad always told me that like a black man has no justice in America. So he was pounding that in me, and thank God like I didn't listen to it, because I felt like if I acted that way, then I would have approached situations differently. But in lieu of like all these events happening, I could kind of see what he's talking about. However, I still understand that that's not the case in most parts. But I know I jumped everywhere. But I would say just educating, just knowing that like one race. If one person of one race does something, that doesn't mess up the whole race. Just like if one cop is a bad cop, that doesn't mean all cops are bad cops. So basically just giving everybody a chance.
Thank you. We have a question from the audience for the Admiral. Why do you believe black youth don't have more role models, and how can we change that?
Say it again, please.
I'm sorry. Check. Thank you. Why do you believe more young black youth don't have more role models, and how can we change that?
All right. Well, first of all, my first role model, and many of you here, were probably your parents. I was very fortunate to have a very persistent, intrusive parents. And today, even though, you know, I'm much older, I still, I'm still cautious to do things around them that they might find not correct. So they were my first role model, and I'm very fortunate they continue to be an enduring role model. But I think more importantly, my parents taught me that role models didn't have to look like me. And in the Navy, I had the opportunity to see diverse leaders. All colors and shapes, all genders. And some of my fondest role models certainly didn't look like the folks I grew up with. Mm-hmm. We have to be courageous enough to open up and find those qualities that are attractive and are worthy of us emulating, and people that don't necessarily look like us. We need to start that conversation, make that initial contact, and you'll be surprised that there are a lot of role models out there ready to meet you halfway. So just, you know, don't necessarily assume that all role models have to look like you or like the same music you like or you know, grew up the same way you did. There are a lot of them out there that that have much to offer, but they come from diverse and different backgrounds.
Thank you.
I would agree with that, too. I kind of look at Marcus as a role model. I mean, this guy played in the NFL a long time, and there's a lot of things that Marcus does that I've, you know, tried to pick his brain about that I do try to emulate, so that they don't have to look like you.
Thank you. Chief Waters, see if I can figure this question out. Why are young black males treated as dangerous based on actions of what a minority of their peers are doing?
Say it one more time.
Okay. Why are young black males treated as dangerous based on the actions of what a minority of their peers are doing? So essentially, I think the question is, if there's only a small portion of African-American men who may be controversial, acting out, or displaying some sort of bad behavior, why is that pool encompasses all African-American men, I'm assuming, is the direction of the question?
It's probably, let me say this without being a smart aleck. Same reason why a lot of people look at all police as dirty, rotten, won't give you an opportunity. And we don't want that. And being a member of the sheriff's staff, if we find out people that are being unequal in their treatment to our citizens, we don't want them around. We'll do everything we can to get rid of those individuals. I've been around for 25 years. I was a young black male in Texas. Got stopped by the police more than once. But every time I was stopped, I deserved it. I had a sports car, I drove it too fast. I'm alive. I've never been dragged into the street beaten. I've never been taken in the woods and they've done something to me. I survived it. And I think the biggest thing for me was the way I grew up, my father's a 32-year military veteran. And I was more concerned about my dad than I was about the police. It was much more of a problem for me. I got into a car accident one day, and I didn't tell him. He found out before I got home. And I was more worried about what he was going to do. I think a lot of the issues are, as a climate in our country changes, a lot of the young men feel empowered to rebel. And I can say this. It never ends well when you rebel. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it never ends well. There's never a situation where we should be fighting on the side of the street. If there's a problem, and I'll tell you young men this, and I know a lot of you guys, I've met a lot of you guys, I've gone on a trip or two with you guys, but I will tell you this. If you ever run into a police officer, if he's rude, let him be rude. He's got a name. He's got a car number. He's got everything that you need to be able to report him. And I can tell you this, internal affairs is not fun. And something is done. So never let anyone ever tell you that nothing's done. You guys are our most valuable asset. You're young and you're growing up, and we care about what happens to members of our community and our young people. but I've never run into a situation where it ends well when there's an argument or a fight on the side of the road. All it does is build and escalates, and it ends to something. It ends up bad. So if I can say anything, is if we do know there are people out there that are treating young black males unequal, unfair, we're going to do everything we can, if we find out about it, to get rid of them. But it takes people to tell us about it before we can do something.
That's interesting. You were talking about your dad finding out before you got home. Mm-hmm. I do something bad in the neighborhood, I get 4 spankings before I got to the house. Then yeah. I get another one by my mama.
The only reason I didn't get one is because I didn't stop on the way home. Somebody would have got me on the way there.
Marcus, I think it's important, though, also, the question is important, but we could search for answers, you know, we could debate answers for hours up here and still not come up with a conclusion. But what we need to do, and this is what this is about, is we need to acknowledge the reality and the fact that that is truth. The reality is I can walk out of here tonight and walk into a strange neighborhood at 9 o'clock tonight versus an African-American male, and I am less likely to have a judgment. I probably won't have any judgment on me, and an African-American male likely will. We have to acknowledge that as a truth. We have to talk about it, and that's how you begin to change it.
With that being said, it's okay. Absolutely. I would agree.
I think we're going to move to part three. And to me, it's exactly on exact same page what Mary Curry just said. We want to look, start looking towards resolutions, solving issues, not just keep talking about them. Let's put a plan in place. Let's do something to get our community, our country, our young people moving in the right directions so we can get more towards a better solution, if you will. Kelvin and Carson, I know both of you recently visited NAS, Jacksonville. Did you get a better appreciation for what the women and men did there than prior to you going?
I mean, I've always had such a genuine appreciation for the military, but I did think that I walked away and was just, you know, wow. Seeing these guys and girls work on the planes and in the hangars, and I just thought it was really neat. I always said if I didn't play football, I'd join the military. So I really feel like that was just a great experience for me.
Thank you.
I have a number of uncles, aunts that were in the military, and to be able to go and see some of the things that they do there and the price that they have to pay, to keep us safe. Some of the planes that they showed us were some of the planes that go in the air and then drop torpedoes in the ocean and go and find submarines to make sure that our country stays safe. So to be able to see the price that they pay and the work that they put in and how smart they are was very impressive.
Yeah. Carson, I know you do a lot. You've done a lot with JET, so you care to talk about some of those things, or do you continue to do more stuff with JET?
Yeah, I'm always trying to do stuff because right now this is, you know, my community. Jacksonville is my home, my wife. We have a house in Jacksonville, and I hate seeing all this bad stuff on TV, you know? And sometimes you got to go, if you want to see something good happen, you got to go make it happen. And that's something that we really tried to do. We got some guys together. We went with the Police Athletic League, and we went out and played kickball with a whole bunch of kids and cops. And I mean, it was just a great time. And I think that, you know, that's kind of where it starts. I'm not, you know, trying to change the whole country. I know that I don't have, you know, the platform to do that, but I do. Football has given me the platform to make a difference in my community. And I just want to make sure that I do take advantage of that. Some kid right here, he came up, and he thought I was a man because I played Jags, you know, played for the Jags. And I just think that that's really cool. And, yeah, so I want to, you know, let you know that cops are good guys, you know. I want to let you know that, you know, the mayor, he cares about you. And he's doing everything he can to, you know, get out in your community and make it a better place.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Carson. I think if we decide that we're going to take our little small piece of turf and make it better, and if everybody take their little small piece of turf and make it better, what a difference that kind of thought process could make. Mayor Curry, what would you suggest or some suggestions to some actions that we can go forward tonight after discussion?
Well, I mean, I think that this is very healthy because, you know, we all talked a little bit beforehand, so you're hearing different perspectives. It's a good opportunity to take a deep breath and listen to someone else. And look, I would encourage folks, I have spent so much time in neighborhoods, in so many different neighborhoods in this city. A really good starting point. It is so powerful to get out, talk to someone, to be able to connect with them, to be able to hug them, to be able to listen to them and understand what they're experiencing. Because going back to the issue before, if we're going to change the way that people prejudge African Americans, we're going to have to expose, I'm going to have to push some of those people into environments they're not comfortable with so they can see that their preconceived notions and their ideas are just wrong. So it's challenging the community to get out and engage and get to know one another.
Thank you. This came from my audience. Mayor, football players have the same constitutional rights of freedom of speech and expression as everyone else. So how can they use their platform more effectively?
Look, I'm it's freedom of speech, so I'm not going to, I would never lecture someone on how they should use their rights to express themselves. But at the same token, we as individuals have rights to disagree with that expression. And those two tensions are part of, frankly, what make our country great. So I would not lecture or suggest that someone exercise their speech in any way that that they deem fit.
Thank you. Final thought. What are some steps you individually, I want to hear from each one of you briefly, you take towards potential resolutions? From this discussion, what would you each take away potentially could be resolutions that you could activate here in our community? Emma.
Well, let me just say that I think it's been an excellent forum. And just to show of how many folks that are here that made a decision to be here Tuesday evening, it could be somewhere else. This is important, and it's great that we've been brought together to discuss this topic. I'm into tangible, near-term things that can be done to reinforce what we have in common as opposed to what we have different. And, you know, anyone that's come to a Jaguars game know that the fans are tremendously respectful to veterans when they have their veterans recognition, or when they sing the national anthem, everyone stands, remove their covers. We get it in this city. I mean, the Jacksonville Memorial Wall is just a few feet away outside the gate, you know, listing names across races and genders of folks that gave the most from this county. I would like to see just the consideration given that perhaps players, maybe the JSO, maybe citizens, instead of listening to someone that has a wonderful voice, that knows how to sing the national anthem and perhaps does that for a living, maybe sometime we can just invite the fans to come together to sing our national anthem and to do it in a very public way that reinforces that we have more in common than we have difference. And perhaps it might be infectious across the NFL that we can send a message that this is a starting point and a bridge to where we need to go. So I get choked up. I spent my life, ready to defend this country if necessary in a strong way. But it was worth it. And I wouldn't change a thing. So that's my suggestion. Just publicly and in a very big way, invite fans to sing it before one game. And led by players. You don't need to have a tune or... We know that's not why you're being, why you're on this football team.
Jen Toll, who really helped us put this thing together. Jen, is that possible? We'll talk about it?
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Singer. Beach. Resolutions.
I think it's just getting together with community leaders, finding out what are some of the issues that are going on here that we've talked about today, and actually getting our hands dirty and doing work. As football players, we're going through a tough season right now, and all we can do is keep grinding and keep working. This is an issue that's national, and it's an issue that's going on, here in Jacksonville. My thing is okay, let's find something to do. Let's put our hands together, put our hands in the pile, and go find a way to attack it and attack it with urgency.
TK?
I'm here for a little bit more of a selfish reason, and that is I want people to know where we stand as a sheriff's office. I want people to know that, listen, I'm a human being, not a machine, not a robot. I have a family. I have kids. I think there's a lack of information. I don't think the players know. I don't think a lot of our community members know. But you can bet one thing that I will work as hard as I can, and I know the staff of the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office will work as hard as we can to get that information out. Information like this. 2015, we answered citizen to police contacts, nearly a million calls for service. We had an 11 officer-involved incidents. Now, you do the math. Most of those incidents were we were shot at or the individual was armed. So those are things that people don't know. We don't have a problem here where guys are going out indiscriminately, systematically want to hurt our young African-American males. It's just not that way. But we have to get that out and share that information. And it's incumbent upon us to build that trust and to let everyone know that that's what's really going on here. We have a great city. I'm a member of this city. The only thing that's different between me and you is I'm tasked with doing a job 24 hours a day that most people don't necessarily want to do. me and everybody else that wears this uniform. But I'm just a guy. I have three kids. I have a family. So I think as long as we sit back and we share information, we talk to one another. Listen, I'll go until I can't go anymore and talk so that people understand that we're humans. And we know that you guys are humans. There's no one here that's out. We don't want to hurt people that don't present threats to us. But it's just a big communication gap, and we want to close that gap. And I think this is a good way to close that gap. We shouldn't stop. It should keep going. I give out my card to anyone here that wants to help. I think it's a big deal. But I want you to trust me. We shouldn't have to build a trust between the officer and our community. It should already exist. But because of some past indiscretions, some past wrongs, we have to earn that trust. And just because I wear the uniform doesn't give me the trust. But you sitting here talking to me, recognizing, listening to me, I'm hoping that I can get something across to these players and all the members of our community to let you know that we are not here other than to serve and live in this community as members of the community. Sorry, I didn't mean to go too long.
No, it was fantastic. I really appreciate that. Carson?
Something I kind of am able to take away from tonight is just that these guys won't change. You know, the leaders in the community, they want this to be a great place to live. And I think it is. And I think it's really cool, the amount of diversity that's in the audience. There's all different colors and men and women out there. And I think that that's really cool. But it's not these people that I'm worried about. I know that everybody in here wants change. It's the people that didn't come tonight. These guys, they all have smiling faces. I'm sure you all make all A's. Just make great grades. Make great grades. I'm not worried about these guys. I'm worried about. I feel you, man. I make those same grades too, man. but I'm not worried about these guys. I'm worried about the people that are, out there, on a Tuesday night doing whatever it is that they want to do. And that's the people that I'm going to continue to try to use my platform to make a difference with. And I want to challenge everybody that it's not the guys here. I mean, everybody here wants change. We all want to make a difference. It's the people that are at home tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Prince?
I think more events like what Carson mentioned earlier, like when we went and played kickball with the officers and the children in the community, I think that was huge for them because I didn't have that. And I thought about cops, like how you mentioned you guys earlier were just like robots and you guys weren't really human. So that was my idea of cops growing up. So if I would have had that as a kid, I would have had just a different opinion. So I think more of those events really dehumanizing cops and everyone just interacting with each other. It's crazy when a cop kicks a kickball, and because now they're instantly human. Like they're not just yes sir, no sir, or give me your license and registration, yeah. Please. So I thought that was pretty nice.
Awesome. Final thought, Mayor.
Yeah, well, let me say there are a number of things that I could suggest where we could all engage in neighborhoods and in the community, and I'm happy after this to get that to the audience and individuals up here. But I just want to say something about my job as the mayor of this city is to represent this entire city, to fight for all of the people of this city every single day. And this type of stuff, while I'm proud of the fact that we are doing good things, we have a long way to go. We are all imperfect people pursuing perfection in this country, and we're doing our part here in Jacksonville. So I would say the tension, the criticism, the push, keep it coming, because I signed up for this, and it's going to make us a better city for that.
Thank you. Thanks. I really appreciate that. Again, I really appreciate all you guys for being here and our panel for discussions, but I think now we're going to have some solutions that are practical solutions that our staff has been writing on the board here.
In the meantime, you're going to sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
We're going to get Mr. Caldwell to sing the national anthem at the next game. Mr. Dave Caldwell, national anthem next home game?
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Our GM, Dave. No chance? building a game plan. Can you guys hear me? Continue budget increases for law enforcement. Grow city investment and programs for
at-risk youth. Somebody ought to be writing this down. These phones taking some notes.
Tell everybody put their phones.
Pictures. They can take them out now. Y'all take them out. Because this is the game plan. When we put a game plan in for the week, everybody take out their notebook and start taking notes, and so they remember. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. Find a role model that don't look like you. That's what you said. Diversity mentoring programs. Acknowledge the truth of racism in our community. Fact. Get to know your neighborhood police officer. Learn about the statistics and build trust. I was talking to TK. He said that's his thing. It's established trust. Sometimes I'm the type of personality, you get my trust right away until you do something to make me take it away. On the other hand, the police, they want to earn your trust. So let's see if we can build a relationship so they can earn that trust. Challenge the community to get out and meet new people. Invite fans to sing the national anthem together at the next Jags game. Jen? Yeah, you like that? Increase education between various community groups. Events that connect kids and cops. Soccer games, softball games, basketball games. Humanitize their reaction, their interaction. Unite, continue to debate. I'm really excited about tonight. I think panelists, if you give them a round of applause, please. Thank you. A fantastic job. And what we talked about tonight isn't going to be this microwave generation. That means it's not going to be instantaneous. My sister was telling me one time we had a flood, and I was telling the panel backstage, downstairs, that I was coaching high school football, and I was just getting really frustrated. These kids aren't getting it. They're not getting it. And there was a flood that came through our town, and it was in the stores. It just spilled over the banks. And she told me, you don't know the impact that you're going to have until much later. And the analogy she used was the flood. You don't know how much damage the flood did until the water recedes. So a lot of times in our young people, in our conversations, just keep going. Just keep debating. Just keep searching for answers. And don't worry about the water right now. It's going to go down. There's going to be progress. There's going to be solutions. And when another problem pops up, we're going to figure that one out too. That's who we are. We're resilient as a community. And that's what we're going to do. Is there anything else? Did I forget anything? Amanda, thank you so much. Tad, thank you so much. Jen, AB, Dan, Dave Caldwell, our GM.
Hey, give it up for Marcus, too. He's been working really hard on this.
Thank you. Mega, thank you. That is all. If you guys want to stand around and talk, some more information, some more questions, we'll be here. We need to leave a few minutes for media availability. Thank you guys so much for coming. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Terrific job.